I'm melting, which is good. I mean, this is like a sign. I'll lose about 5 pounds this morning. But anyway, we're going to continue on looking at what Jesus, you know, just prior to this, the Pharisees looked at Jesus, and here are the works that he was doing, hearing the messages that he had, and the Pharisees were like, oh, he's of the devil, and justify their rejection of the Messiah, the one they've been waiting for. And Jesus comes down really hard on these religious leaders who should have known. I mean, they had the scriptures. They taught the very words of God. And yet, in their arrogance, rejected the Savior. And this morning we're going to look at an illustration, and actually, I'm going to end up breaking this up. Otherwise, we'll be here until, you know, 4 o'clock, and you don't want that. I got lunch after this, so we got, you know, potluck next door. We don't want to wait too long. Reminds me when we used to go to the City Mission in Rochester and preach. And so, you know, if you've ever been to a City Mission, is you know, people come in off the street, there's a meal provided, but they have to listen to the sermon before they get their food. And so I remember the first time I went there, the gentleman who was in charge of it, he goes, look, preach as long as you want, but remember, you're between the people and the food. And they will only be so patient. So this morning, I'm not going to test your patience, I don't think. Because I'm between you and the food. And the way I'm sweating, I can have 2 desserts. So I'll keep that in mind. But Matthew chapter 12, starting at verse 43. And this is a short little passage. It's interesting, as I started filling this in, I was like, oh, you know, I only got, you know, 3 verses to talk about this morning. And, oh, this will be a real quick one. And before I know it, it's long enough that I got part 1 and part 2. But look at the parable that Jesus speaks here. He says, and when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes to dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Jesus talks about sort of the spiritual reality in someone's life. And many of us have demons in our lives. We have areas in our lives where we struggle with. And sometimes these areas in our lives give Satan a hold on us. And we talk about the idea of addiction and substance abuse that is really rampant around in this area. I was really shocked when we first moved in the town over just about 7 years ago. Hard to believe we're in our 7th year here. And you guys haven't gotten sick of me yet to kick me out. But anyway, I remember the first year we were here, I think there was like 7 deaths over the course of summer, all drug-related. Some of them were car accidents. Some of them were overdoses. And I remember asking, you know, one of the local, and they're like, yeah, there's a huge substance abuse issue in this area, which I find interesting because it's such a gorgeous area here. And such beauty, you find such tragedy. And we find people who are trapped. Some of it's generational. I don't know any better, right? Because my parents are doing this. Some people, you know, because of their hopelessness, seek out other things. Some people try to self-medicate their problems away. And we see all these problems that come in. And our society doesn't help, because if you want to do something, it's available anywhere. And you'll find someone who will cheer you on in that. We can't help but take a look at, you know, the idea of our internet. And, I mean, Facebook, I get really tired of it, you know? But I just find it amazing, because it's the only place in the world where you'll find people encouraging people to do wrong or doing weird things, you know? I think the reality is that someone could put it on there and say, you know what? I'm thinking about cutting off my nose. And someone would post, oh, yeah, you could pull that off. Oh, you look great that way, right? I mean, this is kind of our society that will encourage people into their sin and into their bondage. And in here, we look at people like this, as maybe in our life, and our first response is, well, look, we want to clean them up. Right? I know many times we pray for someone for their substance abuse problems, their addictions. We pray for marriages to be restored. Right? We pray for all these sort of external things. And don't get me wrong, some of those things are horrible and they're destructive. But they're on the surface. The problem comes down to being the heart. And here Jesus uses the illustration of, here is someone who is tormented by a spirit we don't have any details. We don't know how that manifested in this person's life. But for some reason, he got rid of it. And maybe it was through, you know, a program that he went through. Maybe it was just by self-determination. People pull themselves by their own bootstraps, right? Because I will just take care of this. I'm done with this. Maybe it's religious. Maybe they came to church, they heard the word, and they responded to it. But just because someone's religious doesn't mean that they're a Christian. And through all these various things, and I think we could point to people in our lives who kind of temporarily clean themselves up. And we're like, oh, well, isn't this great? But the problem is, it does not last. Jesus, I think, uses the same illustration in the parable of the sower, that the sower went forth to sow, and some fell on the rocky ground. Some fell among thorns that grew up and choked it out. We see this played out in people's lives. Because really, at the end of it all, it's a heart issue. And this picture, I think, illustrates our heart. And we're very good at having all these compartments in our heart. Right? That, you know, part of me is, okay, God, if you're a Christian, or maybe you're just religious, then you have this area in your heart, okay, God, this is my God place. You know, on Sunday I bring it out, and I kind of bring out the God card. And I have my family, and I got my friends, I got my hobbies, right? I have all these other things. I find it interesting in this picture that there are areas that are locked up. There are areas that we keep to ourselves. We don't surrender them to God, but no one else knows. And these are sort of the secret sins and areas that we have in our lives. And so the problem comes in. That God doesn't want just a part of our heart. He wants all of us. And I hope you really believe that. Because we live in a society that, you know, doesn't mind if you're religious, but keep it in its place. Right? Don't allow your religion to affect your voting. Don't allow your religion to affect your job. Don't allow your religion to affect your public discourse. Don't let your religion play out in your Facebook. Right? Don't keep God in his little place. You can worship him in the secret of your home and lock him up and keep him there. And Jesus says, no, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are called the broadcast of the light because God needs to have all of us. I've shared with you before my testimony. So I grew up in a Christian home. And I love the Lord. You know, I was one of those geeky kids in Sunday school that put his hand up and I wanted to answer the questions. I mean, I just love church. But then when I got into my teens, I was really struggling with, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? And my plan was I was going to go to a Christian college and I was going to be a science teacher and I was going to teach in a Christian school and I was going to marry a Christian girl. And my whole plan was basically to kind of live a hyphenated life. Everything was dash Christian. As long as I went to a Christian college or taught at a Christian school, right? As long as I kind of plugged God on, everything was okay. Until it wasn't, and everything fell apart. And I became very angry with God because I was like, God, what do you want? You know, I was plugging you into my life. And then God really got a hold of my life through some various things where God's like, I want all of you. He wants all of us. To surrender that life to him. See, our society looks at what's going on in people's lives, and we see the area of addiction, or we look at the area of promiscuity, we look at the idea of all these things, and we try to cover up the consequence of sin. We try to polish up the outside. And God's concerned over the heart. And here was a gentleman who had a spirit in his life, an evil spirit that was controlling him. And somehow he got rid of it, whatever form that was. And he said he cleaned up his heart. He said the spirit went out. And couldn't find anyone else to influence. So he says, look, I'm going to go back and check this guy out. And he came back and he found the man's heart cleaned and swept out. But it was empty. So the demon came and made himself at home. Actually, look what the scripture says. It says, when this unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes to dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he came, he found it empty, swept, and put in order. And then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall be with this wicked generation. Have you ever heard the term, you know, empty yourself? I always kind of cringe when I hear that. And it's always that kind of spiritual term, right? Find some place, be quiet, and just kind of empty yourself. You know that's not biblical. The Bible doesn't tell us to empty ourselves. You know the Bible tells us? To be filled. And here's someone who somehow got released from his addictions, got released from his problems, but the problem is he didn't fill it with anything else, which left this void. And he ended up back, not where he was, but worse. The devil came back and said, "Hey, look at this place. This is spiffy." And went and got seven roommates and came in. And the Bible says the worst state of the man was worse than where he started with. That in here, we are told time and time again, and actually this morning, like I said, we're going to split this in half. But searching out the New Testament, I found out seven areas in our lives that we are supposed to fill our lives with. And I think this is an imperative message for us today. Because there's so much around us, temptation and pressures to go the way of the world. And how do we stand against that? Is to be filled with godly things. It's interesting, our last church, we had some dairy farmers. And I was talking to one of the gentlemen there, and he had four boys. Big, burly guys. And I asked him, I said, "Look, when your boys became teenagers, did they give you problems?" And he says, "No, they didn't give us a single problem." I said, "What was the secret?" He goes, "They were just too tired." He goes, "They would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and do chores and milk the cows. Then there was chores to do after they went to school. So they went to school. After school, many of them went to football practice because they knew as soon as they went home, there was more chores. So they went and did football practice most of the afternoon. Then they came home, and guess what? They had more chores. And then after that, they went to bed." He goes, "My kids never had any problems going to bed. And guess what? The next morning they did the same thing. My kids didn't have time or energy to get in problems." Now, I'm not saying go work yourself to death. But I will say this. Christian, if we are so busy doing what we're supposed to do, we won't have time to do the things we're not supposed to do. I believe that. If we are busy doing the things God wants us to do, we will not have time to do things that he doesn't want us to do. And folks, you guys are here this morning, and I appreciate it, because you could have made up every excuse not to be here this morning. But you chose to come. And I believe you chose a good thing. But I believe with all my heart, people will make time for things that are important for them. It was funny, we were having a prayer meeting, and we had a group that was coming. And one of the guys said, "Pastor, can you move prayer meeting earlier a half hour?" And I was like, "Well, really not, because, you know, the time frame and everything else." I said, "Why?" He goes, "Is it NCIS is on. And if we don't get done on time, I miss over half of it. And I don't know what's going on. So can you please move prayer meeting so I can, you know." And I said, "No offense, but no." We will make time for things that are priorities to us. We all have the same 24 hours in a day. And if we will do the things we're supposed to be doing in here, we won't have time to do the things we're not supposed to do. And the first thing I'm going to look at this morning, actually, this will probably take up the most of our time here. And it's funny because I got seven things, and this is the biggest chunk of one. But the first one, the Bible tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting because there's a lot of questions about this. It's funny because you talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and some people go on some really different paths with this. And what does it mean? I mean, I grew up Baptist, and we know we were afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit because that was the Pentecostal thing, you know? We didn't know what to do about that. And the Bible is clear, talking about the reality of the Holy Spirit and the work in his in our lives about him. And we are told to be filled with him. Now, what I want to emphasize is that if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. You cannot be saved and not have the Holy Spirit. Look what Romans says. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you get the Holy Spirit. And you don't get part of it. You get all of him. The Holy Spirit is our seal. This is what he says to the Ephesians. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The way to kind of think of this verse, we talk about being sealed by the Holy Spirit, think of it as an engagement ring. Right? That as Christians, when we accept Christ, he gives us the Holy Spirit. It seals us to salvation as a promise to us that someday we will be with him. Right? Jesus says, it's to your prophet that I go away. Because I go away, I will send the helper, the comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. And when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you get the Holy Spirit. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you are not saved. It's really clear. So the question comes in, look, can I be saved and not filled with the Spirit? Yes. I remember years ago hearing a pastor say, it's kind of like, imagine your mother-in-law moving in with you. Now she lives in the house, she has full access to the house, but you know what? That doesn't mean that you give her the attention that she's due. You can spend all your time ignoring her, pretending she's not there, but she's still there. She's all there, all her luggage and everything else, she's there. That's probably really a sloppy illustration of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But we have all the Holy Spirit in us. The question is, are we filled with him? Do we acknowledge him? Do we allow him to work in our lives? To the Ephesians, he likens this. Do not be drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And he uses this illustration that, look, if you know someone who drinks, they come under the influence and power of that drink if they're drunk. Right? Some people drink and they're a happy drunk. Some people drink and they become a sorrowful or angry drunk, right? The alcohol takes them and affects all that they do and say. He says, don't be like that, but allow the Holy Spirit in your life. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that means you surrender to him all areas of your life. And in that, allow him to function in all areas, every decision in all that you do. So don't be drunk, don't be under the influence of alcohol, but be filled with the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to have control of your life. Hopefully that makes sense. And what happens when we surrender to the Holy Spirit all areas of our life, he will fill us. He will take as much area in our lives as we surrender to him. So really the limiting force is us. And some of this plays out in our lives. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, 16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right? This goes back to what we said before, right? If we're busy doing the things we're supposed to do, we won't have time to do the things we're not supposed to do. If the Holy Spirit is in control of us, he will lead us in things that please God. And we'll deny the flesh. But what happens is, especially as Christians in our modern society, we're so used to satisfying the flesh. We can have everything we want. I remember when we lived in Knox, and it was funny because Knox, they call it Central Maine. Because I come to the conclusion after living there 9 years, the reason why they call it Central Maine because everything's equal distance far away from you. And so we're talking about Stockton Springs. What do we know about Stockton Springs? It's a small little community, right? So I remember the first time, we were kind of going back and forth with the public committee and everything else. And we said, let's drive through Stockton Springs. So we drove through Stockton Springs. And I was like, hey, honey, there's a Dunkin' Donuts 5 minutes from the house. It's like, woohoo! We're moving up. This is like city life. I mean, this is like, yes, I'm shallow. we're so used to having. The other day, the internet bumped out. And our house became chaos. Did the internet go out? Did you lose that? What happened? And our life just shut down. It's like, oh no. So restarting the thing and trying to get it back up. It's like, oh no. You know, how will we survive? We made it. It was the toughest 15 minutes that we've had in a long time. But we are so used to having, right? We used to have Amazon Prime, and then COVID hit, and we dropped it because you're supposed to have two-day shipping, and things were taking a week to get here. Think about that. We are so used to having and satisfying the flesh that we're not used to having to say no. And what we need to do is learn to say yes to God. Ask the Lord to take away our appetites for the things of this world, the appetites of our sin. And Lord, take me and cleanse me and turn my heart towards you. So if we're filled with the Spirit, or in this case, what he talks about is walking in the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to control our actions and how we live. And we're warned also in Ephesians that do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for that day of redemption. Don't grieve him. Because what's happening in our lives, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he now dwells in you. And in that, he is seeking control to lead, guide you, and direct you, to teach you. He's trying to do the things that he's called to do. And what happens in our lives is we grieve him. That, think about it. He's along for the ride. Everywhere I go, I take the Holy Spirit. Where am I dragging him? Am I bringing him places that he's happy and content? Or am I dragging him to places he doesn't want to go? When I'm watching things, I'm pouring things into my life, either through my ears, my eyes, my mouth, as I bring things into myself, is that pleasing to him? Or am I dragging him along? And we grieve him. Now, I was trying to think of an illustration of this, and I have an illustration, but don't judge me. All right? It's kind of like when I go shopping with my wife. Right? I hate shopping. I'm one of these guys that, you know, I run in, get what I want, and run back out. My wife will grab a cart, and I'm like, oh, here we go. And so I'll follow her around. And I am like a five-year-old. You know, she's pushing the cart, and I'm walking around like, are we done yet? You know? And my wife will say, you know what? Get lost. Well, she doesn't say it that way, but she'll go find something to do. You know, why don't you go look at something else? Right? And so I'll say, okay, so I go off, try to find something, turn around, come back 10 minutes later. Are we ready yet? She's like, you're driving me nuts. And she's patient with me. I don't know what she does. Like I said, I'm worse than a kid. It's like, oh, come on, really? Folks, in our lives, how many times are we dragging the Holy Spirit of God Almighty in the areas that he does not want to go? Are we bombarding him with entertainments of this world that do not please him? And in there, that Holy Spirit is grieved by what we do, what we say, where we go, and what we do. Folks, if we grieve him, we're not filled by him. Because if we're filled by him, we'll go to places he wants us to go. We'll do things that he wants us to do. Paul picks up this thought here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Here, as Paul is telling us, we want to draw the idea of how to become filled with the Spirit. First one is don't quench him. And you know what this is. You have had times in your life where you felt the voice of God. Now, I've never been one. I've never heard God or with my ears. Right? I haven't heard him. But I have felt his voice in me. And to my shame, I don't always heed that. There's been times when I've had the Spirit of God prod my heart and say, go talk to someone. And you say, well, Pastor, you're a loud mouth, right? You're not shy. But, you know, there are times I'm just like, And I felt God said, go speak to them, and I haven't. And you know how it works, right? The Holy Spirit just kind of pokes you. And you're like, no. And can I tell you the saddest thing is? The Bible says that God won't always strive with man. There are times when the Holy Spirit will say, okay, fine. There are times when I know the Holy Spirit wants me to do something. And it's funny times, the Holy Spirit just wants us to surrender. I remember working at the mill. And I was looking for a ministry at the time, and looking for a church, and I was struggling with that. And someone called me up and said, you know, John, you know, we got a hold of your resume somehow, and we're interested in you wanting to come. So I looked at the ministry, and I was like, I don't want to do that. I was like, no way. And so I was working night shift, and a big part of night shift at the mill was pushing a broom around. And I remember pushing the broom around for, you know, 10 hours, one shift. And the Holy Spirit was just like, John, call him. And I was like, no, call him. I don't want to do it. Like, once again, I'm just a big five-year-old. I don't want to. You can't make me, right? And so finally, after about 12 hours, the Holy Spirit was just grinding on me, and I was grieving him. I was quenching him because this is what he wanted me to do. So finally, at the end of it, I'm like, all right, God, you win. I should have just said that 12 hours ago. All right, God, I'll do it. So I got home. I was like, oh, all right. So I called him up. I said, you know what? I'll talk to you. And they're like, well, no, we've already moved on. And I was like, what? I'm like, God, what were you doing? I surrendered. Why didn't... And God's just like, I just wanted you to surrender. That was never the position for me, but you were just fighting me. John, you got to learn to surrender when you hear my voice. And since then, I've tried to do that. I don't always do it. But in here, as the Holy Spirit tries to work in our lives, we quench him. We say no. And let me tell you something. That's the most dangerous thing you do, say no to the Holy Spirit. Because there may be a time when he won't talk to you anymore. Surrender to him. And in here, be filled with the Spirit. Don't despise prophecy. Be in the Word. What's God saying? Lord, hear me, heed your Word. It says to test all things. Is this of God or not? Hold fast to what is good and doing what the will of God is in our lives. And then what? Abstain from evil. And as we do those things, the Holy Spirit will fill us and control us and lead us, guide us and direct us. And he will have his perfect work in our lives. Second thing, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Second thing is be filled with comfort. And I'm going to leave you right there. Because I got five others I were to go through. The time is going by. And I'm soaked. But let's pray. I generally follow the Lord. Lord, as we look at this life, Lord, help us not to be one who just cleans out the outside. Lord, you're not concerned with just cleaning us up. Lord, you're concerned with filling us. As we said this morning, Lord, as a Christian, as a believer, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Allow him to lead, guide us, direct us, Lord. Give us sensitivity to hear his voice and yield to it, Lord. Help us not to resist him. I find it interesting. The scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee for you. Yeah, oftentimes we run with him and we resist the Spirit. Lord, help us have attentive ears and hearts to your voice and not to quench you. Lord, help us to not go and do and say things that grieve you, Lord. For Lord, help us live for you. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. Actually, please.